In the month of July 1950, Mayor Paul Todd appointed the Civil Defense Director for the city of Kalamazoo. During August, preliminary meetings were started for the purpose of establishing key personnel for the subsequent development of an organization. Naturally, during these meetings, the question of need for such an organization entered into the thinking. One point was clear and remains clear, and that is, regardless of what our individual opinions are relative to the possibility of a bombing of Kalamazoo, it obviously is impossible to build a civil defense organization under the assumption that such an organization is not needed. Therefore, this discussion or any other discussions involve no predictions from me or from the able men with whom I am associated in this work as to whether or not there is a likelihood of an A-bomb or any other bomb being dropped on this city. We must and have started with the assumption that such is a possibility, even though one may believe that it will never occur. All of the initial consultation and planning was done with the conscientious and able assistance of the following men: Mr. Leroy Gilbert, Chief Howard Hoyt, Mr. A.E. Kriegsman, Mr. Hardy Luther, Mr. Harold Andrus, Mr. Fred Smekel, Mr. Earl Norman, Sheriff Otto Buter, Fire Chief Van Atta. At a later date, others were brought into the organization, including Mr. Harold Bills, Mr. Melvin Brush, Mr. Harold Rich, Mr. Forrest Kimmel, Drs. Bodmer, Volderauer, Opp, Pearson, and Dowd, Captain Frank P. Long, Mr. Norman Drake, Mr. Tom Clark, Mr. Wayne Rowe, Mr. Carl Lee. During the fall of 1950, Mayor Todd invited me to accompany him to a meeting in Washington, D.C., involving the mayors and the civil defense directors of various municipalities throughout the country. Mr. Stuart Symington of the NSRB, Mr. Averill Harriman, and others spoke to us. We later were taken to the briefing room in the Pentagon building and given resumes of the situation by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, including Defense Secretary Marshall. We left Washington with the understanding that A, we should return home and plan our basic organization and be ready for further instructions that would subsequently follow from the federal government through state governments to the individual municipalities. Mr. Symington emphasized that this time we had time. Perhaps it is better stated to say that it was quite easy to make the inference from Symington's talks that there was no rush. B, members of the National Civil Defense Organization Planning Group in Washington were preparing training manuals for the training of individuals in the various branches of civil defense, as well as educational manuals for the public at large. These manuals, we were told, would take considerable time in preparation, but ardent work was going forward in their preparation. C, that a bill had been prepared for the approval of Congress and the President, which would appropriate X billions of dollars for the purpose of aiding in the financing of civil defense requirements. My understanding was that such money would be used primarily for equipment and shelters, none for personnel, and the bill would include a provision for participation in the federal funds by states and municipalities on some sort of a matching fund basis. We know nothing more about the future financial arrangements than that statement. The important points as far as organization work is concerned were that we had time to proceed carefully and steadily, and that instruction manuals would be made available to us. Our plan of organization. It seemed to us that there were two ways, at least, in which we could proceed. One with an initial broad recruitment of people from the community and the assignment to the various divisions of a proposed civil defense organization, or two, working from what appeared to us to be a more sound basis of setting up an organization and facilities and coordinating these existing facilities, filling out their ranks in a progressive manner as required. We chose the latter plan rather than a broad public appeal to begin with. In the city of Kalamazoo, as well as in other cities, there exist able organizations to cope with the regularly occurring emergencies of varying degrees of intensity. We have the facilities of the Consumers Power Organization, the Michigan Bell Telephone Company, the Kalamazoo Public Works Division, Police Department, Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, Medical Profession, the Nursing Profession, and the local hospitals. It seemed logical to build up a civil defense plan involving as a base the structure and personnel of these organizations, coordinate their activities in preparation for a possible emergency, and supplement them as a civil defense organization requires. It is upon this plan that we have proceeded. On the chart before you, the first one on top there, is the structure of our present organization. Some changes have been made, and others will probably follow. As you know, Police Chief Hoyt has just recently taken over the duties of operations officer, vacated by Mr. Gilbert's resignation. Remaining under Mr. Hoyt for the present is the Public Safety Division, for which he was previously responsible. That's the entire division over on the left-hand side of the chart. The Utilities Division is under Mr. A.E. Kriegsman, who has Earl Norman and Fred Smeckel as assistants, thus covering Consumers Power Company, the Kalamazoo Utilities, and the Michigan Bell Telephone facilities. Mr. Harold Andrus heads the Public Works Division, with Mr. Rich as his assistant. Public Works Division includes all of the existing county and city crews which are to be supplemented, and all of the equipment of the city in an equipment pool, supervised by Mr. Cake. One of the major functions of the Public Works Division would be demolition and clearance in case of a large disaster. For that, heavy construction equipment of all types would be required. Mr. Andrus has completed his initial survey and designation of the now available equipment. His latest reports, dated January the 23rd and February the 8th, indicate that his lists include 100 dump and pickup trucks, 26 power shovels and loaders, 27 bulldozers and tractors, 12 fuel tank trucks, 40 pieces of other auxiliary equipment. He has divided this equipment into 8 groups of more or less equal use, and these 8 groups have been assigned to the 8 dispersal areas, which we shall mention later. To supplement this now available equipment, letters have been sent to the heads of all local industry, asking for a list of the equipment which they would be willing to throw into the civil defense effort in case of an actual emergency, but in no case to be used for practice drills. In this connection, we felt that private owners of equipment would logically want such equipment to be operated by their own employees. Therefore, we have asked them to give us the names of the employees who are now familiar with and operate that equipment. When these lists are in, we shall then ask these men to voluntarily join the civil defense group for operation of that equipment in case of an emergency. Thus, we plan to have additional equipment available from industry with already trained operators, rather than assigning new and possibly untrained volunteers recruited at large. The operators of the privately owned industrial equipment will be thoroughly instructed on where and to whom to report with their equipment in case of dispersal on prearranged signal. Call lists and teams will be set up and added to the already existing call lists and teams which are completed. In the Utilities Division, Mr. Kriegsman and his assistants have organizations that are already on an emergency basis, since this is their regular function. Mr. Kriegsman has worked up lists of teams and call systems which are in the hands of the control center chief, Mr. Luther. In the Public Safety Division, we have at present 6 sections. The organization chart before you will show only 5, but the Public Health and Sanitation section under Dr. Prothrow is being moved up as a separate unit on the same level with police, fire, medical, Red Cross, and plant protection. Radiation monitors, shown up in the left-hand corner of the chart, under Norman Drake will be assigned to Dr. Prothrow. The police section under Captain Frank Pilong includes the auxiliary police, wardens if we later decide we need them, evacuation control, and civil air patrols. Mr. Joe Parisi has been assigned as head of the auxiliary police. Recruiting and training have been started. Chief Hoyt has repeatedly made the point that police reserves or auxiliaries must be selected with extreme care. Sheriff Buter has appointed chiefs of auxiliary police units in most of the other towns and villages in the county. Fire Chief Van Atta, of course, heads up the fire department section. Nell Brush is his assistant. Mr. Earl Heyman, Westwood Fire Chief, represents the township fire departments. This section combines the Kalamazoo City Fire Department, the township fire departments, and the auxiliary firemen. A very complete survey has been made of all equipment and personnel available in all of these sections, and summary sheets are on hand in the control center. The Kalamazoo chapter of the American Red Cross agreed to accept under the Civil Defense Organization those functions which they are organized to perform. Mr. Harold Bills, the disaster chairman of the Kalamazoo chapter, was appointed head of this welfare section in the Kalamazoo Civil Defense. It seemed illogical to attempt to build up a separate welfare section here in Kalamazoo, which would duplicate the functions to be performed by the Red Cross. We think that the Kalamazoo chapter of the American Red Cross, in agreeing to integrate their personnel and facilities with our civil defense organization, is to be commended for their broad-mindedness in this logical combination of organizations. In Mr. Bill's most recent report, he has indicated that there are 1,500 individuals at least in this area trained in first aid, and that they have completed the housing and emergency hospital survey from which emergency hospitals will be chosen. The welfare and Red Cross section, which is really one here, is going forward with the setting up of first aid teams, rescue squads, emergency hospitals, and allied services, which when designated will be integrated with other medical and hospital teams. Mr. Forrest Kimmel has been assigned to head up the plant protection section. He is now engaged in making a survey of all industry in this county, including listing the types of audible signals, such as whistles and sirens, which they may have. Within the last 3 weeks, we have had several meetings with members of the Kalamazoo Academy of Medicine, including their current president, Dr. Volderauer, and the past president, Dr. Bodner. The second meeting included members of the Welfare Red Cross section, Mr. Bills, Mr. Scherer, and others, for the purpose of integrating the two groups and planning the setting up of the medical teams. Dr. Hugo Ock has been appointed by Dr. Volderauer as head of the Civil Defense Medical Services. In order to coordinate the various functions of the medical services section, Dr. Ock proposes to appoint a medical council under himself and Dr. Bodner. Underneath that first chart, you'll find a second chart, which is the proposed organization of the medical services. This tentative organization chart, which Dr. Ock has prepared, subject to subsequent approval, shows the type of organization which we will have. You will see that the Medical Service Council includes representatives of the Welfare Red Cross section, public health and sanitation, dental profession, pharmacists, osteopaths, the nurses, and the hospitals. Please note that this includes a certain group of physicians who will be designated to go to other cities in case of need. Perhaps this is a good place to mention that all of these plans include the possibility of the mutual aid system. Any part of our organization should be available to go to the aid of adjacent cities. We are told that we should be prepared to take up to 50,000 refugees from other major cities in case of disaster here. The housing surveys completed by the Welfare Red Cross section previously mentioned were primarily for this purpose, as well as for the location of the emergency hospitals. Again, with reference to the medical service section, this part of the organization will probably go ahead rapidly following a meeting with the Kalamazoo Academy of Medicine to be held during the week of February the 19th. Now, if you'll turn to the last chart, please. I have left for discussion until last the description of the control center, which was the first unit to be completed in its entirety, including personnel. Mr. Hardy Luther is the able chief of the control center. Obviously, any civil defense organization would fall to pieces in any emergency in which communications would completely fail. Communications constitute the nerves of such a body. We received several generous offers from individual businessmen in the downtown area making available their facilities for a control center. It was decided, however, that A, the control center should be as far away from town as practicable, and B, the communication facilities should be as immune as possible to damage. For this reason, we decided to accept the offer of the Upjohn Company to locate the control center in a well-protected basement area in one of their buildings at the Portage site, 7 miles from the center of town. A survey of communication systems available brought to light some interesting possibilities. If you will refer to the chart showing the communication systems of the control center, you will see what I mean. Surrounding Kalamazoo are the township fire stations. These, fortunately, are equipped not only with the usual telephone facilities, but with two-way radio, both fixed and mobile. And if you will examine the figures in the ellipse designating Westwood, you will note the figures 154.430 TRMF, which means that Westwood has transmitters and receivers, both mobile and fixed, operating on that frequency of 154 some odd megacycles. They also have a standby receiver monitoring the Kalamazoo City Police, Sheriff, and Fire Departments. This is the situation with almost all of these township fire stations, which furnishes a rapid intercommunication system. This system has been tied into the control center by virtue of similar equipment located near the control center and operated from controls in the center. You are all aware of the mobile radio equipment with which our city fire and police departments are equipped. This is on another frequency, 39.58 megacycles. Equipment on this frequency has been installed at the control center by the police department. Thus, we have two-way radio communication with all units of city equipment, including some equipment of the Department of Public Works, with all the township fire departments, and a direct radio channel to the state police unit at Pawpaw. Arrangements have been made for direct hookup with at least one of the local broadcasting stations in case it is ever necessary to transmit direct communications to the homes of the citizens or to their automobile radios. Acting under directions from our organization and with complete cooperative spirit, the telephone company has installed special telephone equipment in the control center. All of these communication devices are completely installed and in operation. Connections have been made to emergency generators, which would operate all equipment and lights at the control center in case of failure of the consumer's power supply. Mr. Luther has completed recruitment of personnel for three-shift operation of the control center. Realizing the necessity for emergency power at downtown police headquarters, with the approval from the commission, Mr. Norman has purchased three auxiliary generators. One of these is being installed at the police transmitter site, one at police headquarters, and the other at city headquarters for the operation of city equipment in case of power failure. It is interesting to note that in case of complete destruction of the police headquarters, even by a localized fire under normal conditions, the police and fire communication system could be operated from the control center. This we believe to be an asset to the city under any circumstances. The various groups are currently engaged in the assignment of equipment and personnel to the eight dispersal areas located outside of the city of Kalamazoo and controlled by the communication equipment of the various township fire departments. Such dispersal areas are not exactly at the township fire department locations, but are within approximately 1 mile radius from such points. It is planned that mobile radio would furnish the contact at any point within each dispersal area. These assignments are probably complete by now, since last Friday was the deadline on that part of the program.